Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hello, fellow bereavers. Today you are going to hear from a mom who is only 2 years into this journey, but she's leaning heavily on God. The first time I heard from Carol was 6 months after her son died. As Carol and I started talking while we were recording this, she had so much to share about her son that it was really hard to narrow it down for the editing process of what parts of that to share with you. So what I'm going to do is read to you what Carol shared with me in that very first email to introduce you to her son. Now, Carol was 16 when she had her son, and she named him Jeff Free. It's J-E-F-F with a hyphen and the word free. Most people knew him by the name Free. He was never married and he had no children. He loved to study and religion was his favorite subject. Now, he kept journals starting at 8 years old that included his thoughts and feelings on his studies and also his personal goals. This is something that's obviously very precious to Carol now. And this continued for his entire life. He was a genius with an IQ of 168. Now, Free was in the Navy for about a year with a general discharge. He was an ordained minister, and he was a college graduate with a bachelor's degree in science, and he wanted to go on to become a doctor. Free had recently come to Carol to confide in her about some dreams and visions, things he was seeing and having, for it had been happening for 10 years. Now, let me just add that Free was 33 years old at this point. Now, even more recently, he had been severely sleep deprived as a result of possible night terrors, but Free described these as actual physical attacks from the adversary, from the spirit realm. You know, like Carol said, as we talk, take it or leave it for, you know, your beliefs or what you think. But this is what was going on with Free. Now, he had been staying with Carol for 3 weeks as they were seeking help for him. And in the meantime, he was applying for teaching jobs and he was volunteering at the local homeless shelter. On July 18th of 2023, he had a doctor appointment to request a referral for a psychiatrist. And instead of the referral, the general practitioner prescribed him Seroquel to help him sleep. And this doctor was convinced that it would be what Free needed. And they were all excited, thinking this was really going to help him. Now, later it was realized that this doctor prescribed too light of a dosage, which actually aggravated the mental anguish he was already in instead of controlling it. So we're getting ready to join my talk with Carol. Let me fill you in just a little bit here. Free took his first dose of that prescription in that evening, and then he wanted to run to the store, and Carol tried to discourage him. He put his arm around his mom and said, "Everything's going to be all right," and then he left. When it was past 10 o'clock and he still wasn't back home, Carol knew something wasn't right because the store he went to closed at 9 o'clock. She tried calling him, but no answer. Carol called the police, even though she knew it had only been, a couple hours, 3 hours since he had been gone, but she explained her concern that he had taken a new medication that was supposed to help him sleep, and she didn't know where he was. And they agreed they needed to be out looking for him, and so they were, and they couldn't ping his phone because he had turned it off. Now, Free finally called her. It wasn't quite 11:30. He was an hour and a half away, and he had gone to visit his dad, which was an extremely rare thing for him to do since they did not have much of a relationship. And Free was saying some concerning things. She let her local police know what town he was in and what street he was on, who then contacted the police on that end, and they went to go find him and check on him. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to let Carol finish the story as she is arriving in that town and trying to figure out where her son, Free, was.
So I got there. I was trying to find a hospital. Well, They didn't have a hospice. So I called the 911 again and I asked her, I said, I'm trying to find him. What are they taking to? Because she said, I really don't know anything. They don't tell me anything. She said, but it just come out of the police station and then there's a couple officers here will talk to you and they'll let you know what's going on. So once I got there, I go in and I'm the only person in there, of course. And she's like, well, I'll let them know you're here. They'll be out in just a minute and they can help you. And so the two officers came out. I asked them, where's he at? Is he okay? Where's he at? I tried to find a hospital. There's no hospital around here. And, where did they take him to? And that's when they told me that he was deceased. Was not something I expected at all. I said, well, y'all were so close. I thought y'all could take him to the hospital and pump his stomach. And they asked me if he had any firearms. Apparently, while he was at his dad's house, his dad had went to bed and about 11 o'clock. And after he called me, the neighbor heard gunshots. When his dad had went to bed, his dad had a gun. I mean, his dad didn't know anything was wrong. And I mean, it's a grown man. It's not like a little kid in the house. And the gun was laying on the table when he went to bed. And I don't know what happened. Maybe being by himself, the medication has sent him into some kind of manic psychotic episode. And I found out now that at a low dose, if someone's already in that state of mind where they're hallucinating, then, having these different things going on doesn't attack all the neurons that it's supposed to bring them down from the episode. And it will actually, it only attaches to one neuron, which actually causes them to, it's more like an antidepressant supposed to bring them up. It can cause them to like lose all inhibitions. They just do things spontaneous. They don't think about what they're doing. And that's what happened.
So, can I just clarify? I know this is hard, but in other words, he ended up shooting himself.
Right. The thing that was weird when I left the police station, from the police station to his dad's house, I passed a church and they had a marquee sign. And it said, everything's going to be okay,
Oh,
God.
wow. Oh, wow.
And that was the last
Wow.
thing he said to me before he left the house.
Wow. So we're going to be very raw and real here. You've given me permission. I got an email from you recently, which is what kind of spurred me asking you to come on. I want to read part of what you wrote to me. You said July 18th was the 2-year anniversary of my son's transformation to heaven. It started out as a very hard day. I had a complete meltdown out of nowhere. You say out of nowhere, but we know where it came from, right? I mean, it's like very, very normal. I threw my poor husband out of the house for the day in a not very nice way. I then found myself in the fetal position, sobbing uncontrollably on my kitchen floor, feeling like my soul was being ripped out, much like my reaction 2 years ago. Through my pain, I prayed to the Lord, and once again, I felt the comfort that God provided for me through the Holy Spirit as He promised. And I calmed down, got up, and started intensively cleaning my kitchen. Now, I want to back up a little bit. Now, you just shared something that was just a crazy God sign, literally a sign, within that first hour or so of you hearing that you didn't have free anymore. So we're going to back up. There was something else that very specific that happened in those first few nights after his death that involved going outside. Can you share that with us?
So, of course, I really wasn't sleeping. So, I don't know if it was the first night, second night. It might have been, it was somewhere in there. But because I had been going out to the road looking for his headlights, trying to find him, I mean, that's what I base it on. But every night he had passed actually at 11:33 was his time of death. So, every night as it got closer to midnight, I would just have to get up and go outside. It didn't matter what I was doing. I had to go outside and I would go outside and I just was looking up at the stars. You're like, my child's up there and I just want to see him. And I was praying, God, please, I just want to see his face. Just let me see his face one time. That's all I want. I just want to know that he's there. And as I was looking up, right above my head, there was a shooting star. At that moment, I was just like, confirmation, and it made me feel better. And So I started doing that every night. I mean, I wasn't really planning it, but it was just every night. It's like, okay, it's almost 12 o'clock. I had to go outside, and I would go outside, and some nights, I was praying. I mean, thankfully, I lived out in a rural area. I mean, I had neighbors, but they weren't real close. But I would be out in the middle of the road. I'd be singing or praying or just talking to God or, screaming at the devil.
You knew who to
Just,
blame.
yeah. But every night I would look up and I would see another shooting star. And then it was just like, okay, first it was one, then it was two. And then, I just kept seeing all these shooting stars. And then I thought about my car. I was like, well, hey, I can let the top down on my car. And my son had this blanket that he did not want to let go of. It looked like ratty. I was gonna throw it away. He's like, no, I like that. That's a sentimental blanket to me. So I had taken that blanket outside with me and my pillow, laid the seat back in my car, and I had downloaded the New Testament, Johnny Cash reading the New Testament. And I would just lay there and listen to him reading while I looked at the sky and just kept watching all these shooting stars. And I found out a few weeks later that every year there's, and actually it's going on right now, but every year there's this meteor shower that goes on from, it's either July 17th or July 18th is when it begins until around August 23rd. And there's actually two different meteor showers going on. It starts with a P. I can't remember the name of it, but that's why I kept seeing all these shooting stars. There was this huge meteor shower that you could just see with the naked eye. And since I lived out in the country, there were no lights anywhere. But, and like, that's what I said. I knew there was an explanation now, but at the same time, I know that God is in control of everything. And he knew before I did what I would need and what would come for me and what I would be asking for. And I mean, I didn't know exactly what sign was going to be or whatever, but he knew he's in control of everything. And even though there's an explanation for it, and I know it happens every year, but that's the night that my son passed. And that is what I was asking for, was some kind of sign. And that is what I got. And every year I can go out and I can do that.
Now, I know you said you wanted to see that again, like that right after the anniversary of his death. And this time you went out, you didn't see anything. But instead, you said you found yourself filling with joy. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, so we moved from our house. I mean, now my husband's a pastor, and we actually moved right next door to the church, and we're in town, so there's street lights everywhere, and you can barely see any stars. But I went outside, and I was from the first night. It was July 18th. That's what I did. I went out that night to see, and I'm looking, and I'm squinting, and I'm trying to block the view so I can see, and I never saw anything. But at the same time, I was talking to God, and I was just like, I first of all, I feel guilty for asking you for anything. You've done so much for me already. I mean, he's comforted me anytime I've asked. I mean, he's got me through till today. But then I just started thinking about how there's no place that my son would have rather been than there with our Lord. He loved the Lord since he was a little boy, and that was always he was the most important thing to him. And I knew that he was happy and that there was nowhere he would rather be, and how much I knew that he was rejoicing and worshiping him. And then I just started thinking about how I know that this world, it seems like we're just gonna be here like it's forever, but it's really not. When you think about eternity, this life is just a blink of an eye, and that if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sins and surrendered yourself to Him, then you will one day be there with your child again. And I just started thinking about how the day that I am there with him again, and how we could hold hands again and just worship God together. And I mean, that just brought so much joy to me. And I just, the main thing, that I just want to tell people is look up. This life, this world isn't eternity. So many times in the Bible, God says, look up, look at the clouds, keep your eyes on the heavens. Just know that this life, it wasn't promised to be joyful, and a song is going to be happy, and tragic things are going to happen, and things are going to knock us out from under our feet. But sometimes, in my case, I know, even though my husband's a pastor, and for several years, I mean, I did my Bible study, I'll spend 3 hours in the morning studying my Bible and journaling. But it was like after my son passed, and I lost my job. My husband went to the ER. I mean, it was just like bam, 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 things one after the other, to where I was just like, I didn't want to be here. I remember the first episode I saw of yours was, I don't want to be here. It was something along that line. I don't want to be in this world without my child or something. And not that I was gonna, do anything to myself, but one day I went to this, it's a sculpture garden, a prayer garden in Kerrville. I went to that prayer garden because he and I were actually supposed to be going there together. We had made plans to go on that particular day. So I went, and while I was there, I went out to pray, and I just started praying. I said, God, I don't know what to say. There's nothing in this world that I want. Everything that I thought was important, it doesn't really matter anymore. I really don't even want to be here. I mean, that was my only child. I don't have any grandkids. I didn't have any, I mean, not from him. I do have a step grandbaby. But he's my grandbaby. But anyway, I was like, I don't want to be here. There's nothing in this world I want. Everything that I thought was important is not. I know now it none of it matters to me. So the only reason that I am here now is whatever you want me here for. So I'm yours. Everything that I have done, everything that is bad, any ill will that I've had for anybody, Lord, I just want all of that gone. And when I tell you that there was a wind started blowing from nowhere, I asked other, nobody felt it but me, but there was this wind started blowing, and it's like I could feel everything washing away, all the bad things. Not my son, of course, the grief, but just all the things I had been holding on to. And from that moment, when I fully surrendered myself to him, I thought I had before, but now I know I hadn't. But when I fully surrendered myself to him, and I told him, I said, I'm your vessel, and just I'm here for you. Whatever you want me to do, then just lead me. He opened, when they say I was blind and now I see, before I would read scripture and try to read my Bible over and over. Nothing ever really sunk in. Like I couldn't remember anything. Now I read the Bible, it's like I'm reading the newspaper. I teach women's Bible study now. I just let the Spirit speak through me, and even the words that are coming out of my mouth are like, I don't even know where that came from. And I know that it's the Lord, and God knew that my son was going to be with him when he left this world, but I'm not so sure that I was, or maybe I was, but maybe, I don't know where I would stood when I got there. But I see it now that he loved me. God loved me so much that he was going to do whatever it took to get me close to him, for me to have that personal relationship with him. And it made me immerse myself into his word. It just changed. It changed everything. And the relationship that I have with him now, I mean, I cry every day at some point during the day over my son. It just hits me out of nowhere. But then, I pray and God comforts me and I go on about my day. I don't want to not cry, but I just know he's there. And anytime I pray to him and ask him for comfort, I just want to give you glory. I just want people to know how good you are and that no matter what happens in this world, you're there. And you always told us that you would be there with us, that you would abide with us. And he does. And, he knows what it feels like. He lost his child. He willingly gave his son for us. Would any of us willingly have given our child to save someone else? I mean, he loves us more than we could ever imagine. I'd seen right after my son passed, I was at the hospital with my husband, having emergency surgery. And I went to the chapel and I saw a picture of Mary holding Jesus after, he had passed and she was holding him. And I was like, Mary lost her son. She watched him. The first woman in the Bible lost her child to his brother, to her other child. And God knows our pain. He feels our pain. I mean, he grieves with us. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I mean, he didn't cry because, Lazarus died. He cried because he saw the grief that, the sisters were going through. He's there. And no matter what we go through, just know that we will be with him one day. And there will be no pain. There will be no grief. There will be no sorrow. There'll be no tears. There'll be no death. And just keep looking up, and knowing that
Yeah, it
he's there.
makes me think the King James version of "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh" is what that makes me think of.
Job, I think it's 35:3, and it says, "Look up at the clouds and know. Look up at the heavens and see. Gaze at the clouds high above you." Like God said, who was there when I created the clouds and the earth, the stars? I mean, just have to trust him. Trust him. He knows. I mean, we can't understand the things that are going on, and like you said, we can't ask why. Even if he told us why, it still wouldn't be good enough, So, and we would never understand it. And you can either be bitter or you can be better. I hate to see when someone, just turns. I know some people are going to get mad at God, and he's okay with that too. Don't stay mad at him.
Now
And
you said something that I just want to clarify a few minutes ago, and you said that God knew what it would take for me to get close to him. And some bereavers could interpret that as, so God is guilty of killing my child.
No.
God caused that
No.
because, so God, how cruel is that he would take my child just so I would get close to him?
No. And I can see that but no, God is love and God is life. God does not kill. Now Satan reigns over this earth and anything bad, those kind of things that happen. I mean, the only reason we have death is because of Satan. But God can take all these things and turn it to good if you
Well,
put your
he can
faith
take
in him.
anything that Satan tried to put in our
Yes.
lives as a stumbling block, as something even to make us blame God, think God betrayed him. All the thoughts that many bereavers have, it's not that God even in some sense, he didn't allow it for the purpose of, oh, well, now she'll get close to me.
No, no.
It's like you said, this is Satan's stomping ground. And we are just all part of that fallout. We're all part of
Yeah.
that fallout. And God knows, even before he put that child in our womb, he knows how many days that child's going to have. And, one question I ask is, if you knew how many days your child would have, that they would be gone before you, would you choose not to have your child? And I
No.
have never heard a parent say, oh, yeah, I'd rather not have my child than to go through this. Of course, we'd rather not go through this at all. We'd rather have our child back. But since we're on the enemy's playing field and these horrible, evil things happen to all of us, it doesn't matter where you're a believer or not, And sometimes God will put his step his hand in and stop something. I mean, he saved Becca's life over and over and over again. So why didn't he the one time that she died? I don't know. But what I do know is that he can see the beginning from the end. And, you know, a lot of what you've been talking about, I've been thinking over and over again, so much of this is our perspective. It's our perspective. And like you said, looking up, because like you are so fresh into this. 2 years is just you're barely starting on this journey. And yet you could be very much wallowing in the death, very much wallowing in how he died, very much blaming this doctor and just all bitter in a crusade against this doctor. Somebody's got to be blamed for this. Somebody's got to pay for this. It's all so much in our perspective. Now, at first, we're consumed by that darkness. I mean, we're
And
just
I do,
consumed by it. And like you said, you do cry every day.
and
And
I can't
but then
say that
after
those
your cry,
thoughts,
you choose to look up. You choose to say, God, I just bring this pain to you. I bring this nonsense to you. This thing that makes no sense should not have happened. And the pain that it's brought, I bring it to you. You know, and that's really all we can do. We can choose to either continue to wallow. We do get to a point where we get to choose. We can choose to wallow in it and continue to be bitter and resentful and just dark. Or we can choose when those dark moments hit us to allow that grief, yes, but it's kind of like that bittersweet, to allow the bitter, but then lean into the sweet and begin to lean into God and let Him be your comfort and let Him be your strength and let Him be the perspective that you need of this is so temporary here and it's painful, but it's temporary.
And I mean, if nothing else, the best thing you can do is go out and help somebody else, you know, and feel your pain, feel your grief, but at the same time, don't let it take your faith away. If you don't have faith, I pray you get some. And if you do, don't let it take your faith away. I could tell you, I know my son's up there in heaven, and I want to be there too one day. I want to be with him, you know, and that's my ultimate goal. And just, and the closer you are with God, the more you'll never understand him. I mean, God's knowledge,
Right,
I mean,
right.
you'll never understand what's going on
Right. We
around here.
cannot bring him down to our
But
level.
if you want to know him the way that he wants us to know him, read his word. He will speak to you in his word. You can't know somebody unless you talk to them. And God has given us the blessing of his word. And you read his word if you want to know him. And the more you know him, the more you see his grace, his goodness, his love, his compassion. I mean, you can't just pick and choose little, you know, verses here and there. Study it. Find a good Bible-based teacher, preacher. Make sure what they're telling you is in the Bible, not just, you know, there's a lot of them out there that's just kind of adding their own thing. I don't even know if they know any verses in the Bible, but just if you're feeling it, just immerse yourself in him. That's what he wants. He wants us to come to his feet. He wants to hold us. He wants to comfort us. I mean, that's where he gets, I mean, that's what gives him the glory. When you see what depth he can bring you out of, that glorifies him. You see the light of him, a lot of people don't even get to see. I mean, the more you are in the dark, when you see the light, the brighter the light is. It's a horrible, the most horrible thing that could ever happen. It's the most traumatic thing that could ever happen in your life to lose your child in this life here on earth. But God says he is close to the brokenhearted. So at the same time, there are blessings in that darkness, and God is there to comfort you. And if you let him, and you seek him, you open that door, you let him come to you, or let or go to him actually, and seek him and just fall into his comfort, then you can just, I know that the relationship that I have with him, I mean, yes, I lost my son. Yes, I know I will see him again. Yes, I still cry every day. It's horrible. But at the same time, I look up and I look at the blessings. I look how the relationship that I have with God now, I don't think I ever would have had this not happened. He humbled me. He broke me down completely to where he was all that I had. And I mean, I'm not saying that he caused everything, but in the event of this earth, everything that happened, it humbled me. And God, he is the only one that could have given me the comfort that I have received. I go to counseling. I've been to grief groups. I talk to people. I mean, I go to church. I try to, I do all the things, but nothing is as good as God. If you just open your heart and you pray to him, and he will, he speaks to us in that quiet voice, just like the star, the shooting star, the sign, everything's going to be okay.
We have to really be open to see those things, don't we?
Yes.
We have to be open to seeing them and
Yes.
believing that that is something from God. Because sometimes we can see something, it's like, oh, whatever. And it's like, no, that was God trying to bring you peace. That was God trying to bring you comfort. That was God speaking to you, doing something that warmed your heart in some way, that made you let you know that He's here with you.
Yes, and I mean, I could tell so many things, but sometimes things are just for you. You
Yes,
know,
yes,
can't give
yes.
other people can't
Well, it's like
understand
an
it.
intimate relationship. There are some things that are just between the two of you.
You tell somebody else, they're gonna think, oh, well, she might be crazy, but I mean,
Yeah.
God, like I said, you have that personal relationship with him.
Well, Carol, I think we got to wrap this up. So
Okay.
I think this was a good conversation, and I just really appreciate you being willing to come on when this is so fresh. I really do. And sharing your heart with us. So you do have a Facebook page. If someone, and you're not always real active on there, but if someone were to want to get a hold of you, I know you and your husband at one point, you kind of wanted to start kind of a support group. It hasn't really taken off or gone anywhere. But if anyone is in your area and they would like to connect with you, I know you would love to do that. And so they would be able to do that if they got on your Facebook page and private message you. So what is that Facebook group that you have?
So it's called Forever Free Grief Support for Bereaved Parents. And I do have some information on there, how to reach me, where our church is. We're right next door to the church. And yeah, I mean, I'm always willing to sit down with someone and just to listen, whatever they need. I mean, if I'm,
Just to have someone who's been in that same place
I
is
like to
just
do
huge.
crafts, we
Yeah.
do gardening, just whatever. Whatever you like to do, I'd like to do all kind of things.
Yeah,
So
I think you can tell you'd have a friend in Carol.
never meet a stranger. So yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, Carol.
Thank you so much.
I think it is amazing to see Carol's walk with God and even the joy she already has in the midst of the pain of her only child dying by suicide. Now, I hope she was not someone to compare yourself with. That's not the purpose of this. And you might be beating yourself up because you're not at that place, or maybe you think you'll never get to that place. But what I'm really hoping and praying is that Carol was someone who is an inspiration of hope to you. Carol has definitely become a grieving parent sharing hope. And you can be one too in your own time and in your own way as you continue looking up and bringing your pain to God. I know Texas is a huge state, but for all my Texas listeners, you may want to look Carol up and see if you are within driving distance. Now, I know in Texas, driving distance is a lot longer than for most of us in these smaller places here, but you might want to check it out and maybe take her up on doing something together. For the rest of us, I really hope and pray you have at least one other bereaver you are connected to. It helps so much to be connected with others who get it, not in a mopey, crying all the way time, feeling sorry for each other, but it allows you to talk about your child with others who want to hear about him or her and to share struggles that others just don't understand. And ask each other questions. How did you deal with this? How did you get through that? You know, it's really good to have someone or a group, a small group, that you can just talk about these things with. That's why we like to help bereavers connect with each other. If you would like to start a group, but you don't know how or what to do, I want to encourage you to take a look at the GPS Hope website and click on the tab that says Support Groups. Now, if you hover on that tab, you'll see a list of groups. We don't have that many, but there might be something in your area. Go ahead and check it out. If you actually click on that tab, you're going to find some information there. Now, we do not have a set way to run things, and we don't see our GPS Hope Share and Care groups as someone who has a leader per se, but just someone who is a facilitator. You just want to facilitate some other bereavers getting together. Like I said, we don't have a set way to run things because we know each group is different in what they want and need. Some want a predetermined topic to discuss or videos to watch. Some just want to meet at a restaurant and be together and just let the conversation flow out however it goes. Some want a combination of chatting and also a specific topic. Our local group, we get together once a month. It's another thing. We don't require how often. We just, for minimum, once a month. If you want to meet more than that, your group wants to, great. But for us, we meet once a month and we just kind of get together and talk and share each other's lives. And then towards the end, the last half hour or so, I will bring something that I read and then we'll talk about that. So if you're interested in what it would take to become a GPS Hope Share and Care group, click on that tab on the website that says Support Groups. Now, if you already have a group, you might want to consider becoming an affiliate where we will list your group on our website for bereavers in your area to find. So once again, go to gpshope.org and click on the Support Groups tab. Now, I'll put a link to that in the show notes and you can just check out all that information there. Carol mentioned Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Eve as people in the Bible who've lost a child. Now, quite a while back, several years ago, I studied several people in the Bible who lost a child. And I even did a podcast series on each one that I found. I've taught on it on workshops and on our retreats once in a while. So I decided to put all of this into an ebook about parents in the Bible who've lost a child. I'm finishing that up right now. I'm in the editing process. I'm hoping to have it out within a couple of weeks. And I just thought, since Carol brought this up, I would let you know that this is something that I'm working on right now that you can look forward to possibly getting. One last thing here. If September is a rough month for you coming up, the Reflections of Hope September edition is something you may want to consider getting. This has helpful readings for each day of the month, along with a reflection and an encouraging scripture. You can read it every day for the whole month, or you can just read it on the days you need something extra to get you through that day. Find out more at gpshope.org/reflections, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Let's go ahead with today's birthday segment. Nathan Hatfield was born on August 25th and left us at age 16. Corey Thompson was born on August 28th and left us at age 28. Samantha Kesich was born on August 28th and left us at age 22. As always, we celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day and worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the listeners, I would be honored to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill in that information, including the pronunciation of your child's name. If sometimes it gets mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you, just submit the information and we will add your child's birthday to the birthday segment that week. They will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week so that you can hear your child's birthday shared. Carol mentioned several times about the blessing of leaning into God's Word. Now, I know some of you have a hard time with that, which I understand. But let me say, this is one of the places you will find hope and strength. There are so many verses that have a whole new meaning to me now since Becca died. I shared a couple of those in last week's episode. Honestly, I don't know what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness still here in the land of the living. Now that was Psalm 27:13, believe it or not. Let me share it with you in a couple of other versions. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I am expecting the Lord to rescue me again so that once again I will see His goodness to me here in the land of the living. I truly believe I will see the Lord's goodness during my life in the land of the living. And the last one here, I would have been without hope if I had not believed that I would see the loving kindness of the Lord in the land of the living. Something I heard just this morning is how vitally important it is to sit with God in our pain and our feelings of betrayal or God letting us down. Now, He already knows how you feel, but you need to be honest about it and tell Him, because sometimes it's like, how can I be so angry at God? And we feel guilty about that, but we need to be honest with ourselves and let God have it if that's what you need to do. Now, I know some of you are already really good at that, but some of us hold back because we feel like, what kind of a horrible Christian am I if I'm mad at God? Just sit down and be honest with Him, and then take the time to stay there in your pain so that He can minister to you. I know that's hard to do, but we have to be honest about what is true for us, our true, so that He can give us His truth. You can fall into His comfort that He is waiting to give you. So bring your pain to Him and let Him help you carry it. Hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.